We're going to share some very exciting things this morning in terms of perspectives of a few people's lives. And I want to take some time and summarize the main players on the stage, if you will. It's not a play. It happened. It's true. But there's fantastic things to see from their lives. And this message is called Willing Hearts Worship. Say that with me. Willing Hearts Worship. Willing Hearts. Christmas is a time of promise, a time of hope, a time of reminding others about the true meaning of the day. And we have, atheists coming out of the woodwork to try to get equal time or to steal away the meaning, really, the true meaning of Christmas. Change it to winter solstice and happy holidays. But we get to radiate the joy, the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about who?
Jesus
Christ. Have you ever stood on a dark night, and you can do this easily here in Port Ludlow, where you go outside and you look up and you see just a myriad of stars? You get away from the lights. You turn the lights off in the house sometimes, and you don't get too close to any particular edge, but turn the lights off and just look up, and it's absolutely stunningly beautiful. We have some of the most gorgeous moonshines around here. That doesn't quite sound so right. I bet you there's some of those too. What do you think? This is Jefferson County after all, you know. Oh, yeah. Okay, that was a different train of thought altogether. Okay, but some of the glorious moon glows and the times for the full moon, I think they're just about the prettiest here that I've ever seen anywhere. When you're in a major city, you've got thousands of street lights and neighborhood lights and business lights, and you really can't see those stars as well. So you get away from the distraction, and you can see what you're really trying to focus on. The enemy, and I don't throw a lot about the devil around here because I am trying hard to be very Jesus-oriented. Now, we rebuke the devil, no question. We rebuke the devil. He's hassling lives and all of those things, but I would far rather spend most of my time preaching about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Him crucified. There's the power released. Jesus is great, but the enemy would love nothing more than to distract people away from what the true message is. Like throwing on all those extra distracting lights so you can't see that glorious star. And there really is something very powerful and very simple as we take a look at the message of the important players in this whole story. Like me, I'm sure you want to see Jesus, don't you? I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him high and lifted up. I want to hear Him. I want to receive Him. I want to give Him away. And we're going to talk about one of those keys this morning, about how to see Him in a fresh way. And it all starts with having a what kind of heart?
Hearing.
A hearing heart. That's good. That's excellent. And a willing heart. A willing heart. Willing hearts worship. Mary. Let's start talking about Mary this morning. And we've got several scriptures, and you can turn to them in your Bibles as well. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38. And I'm going to share some of the familiar scriptures with you. And then we're going to take a look at just a couple of points of each section. Luke Mary. Very good. Luke 1, 26 through 38, and verses 46 through 49. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And in the Greek, that literally is Maria. And so the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, say it with me, please. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. How many might be troubled if all of a sudden somebody shows up at your door, ladies, and says that to you? And what are you after? That's an unusual for our day, but how powerful. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," let's say it together, "you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever." How long? "And of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Let's say that verse again. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord," or the maidservant of the Lord. "Let it be to me according to your word." Say that with me again. "Let it be to me according to your word." One more time. "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. "Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word." What do you see? What kind of a heart is that? There's a willing heart. I don't understand what's going to happen, but oh God, let there be to me according to your word. As you have spoken it, so let it be done. We find several things about Mary. She was highly favored. And the Lord is with her. She's graced, is literally what the Greek word means. She is graced, charisma. She is charis, if you will, Greekly. She is graced of the Lord. She's favored. Excuse me, my voice is changing this morning. She's favored and she's blessed. All right? She's also spoken well among women. That's kind of special, isn't it, ladies? Have you ever felt like you haven't been spoken well of by other women? Thank God that's not this morning. That gets bad, doesn't it? But she was spoken well by the other women. She's a virgin, we know that. And by the way, when it says in the scripture she's a virgin, no matter what people try to do and wrest that meaning today, literally the Greek meaning is she was a virgin. And scholars can argue over that point as much as they want, but down through the generations of interpretation, the word literally means she was exactly that, a virgin. There are different words that mean young person or a young woman, etc., but this literally means a virgin. We also know that she was young. How many know how old Mary was, probably? 14 through 16, 14, 15, 16 years of age. That's young! Now you got to remember, the life expectancy wasn't as long then either, and so they were getting marrying at earlier ages, etc. But nevertheless, that's young. 14, 15, maybe 16 years of age. Her entire life was going to change in that heartbeat as the Spirit of God moved upon her. Of all women, before or since, Mary, Maria in the Greek, was selected by God to bear His Son Jesus. And the Bible calls her blessed. Say, blessed. So we will always consider her. Now, there are many times people worship Mary. That's not what the Bible says. We don't worship Mary. Amen? We don't do that. The Bible doesn't do it. We don't do it. The Bible does tell us of her character and her remarkable heart before God that talks about her willingness to suffer because Mary suffered for the calling of God in her life. There's absolutely no question. But most of all, her response to God was remarkable. Now, after the ministry of Jesus mushrooms forth, we only see Mary four times further in the Scriptures. God didn't call us to worship Mary, but to respect and to appreciate her. Folks, this was a courageous young woman. She didn't argue with the angel. There's no way humanly possible this could take place, but she didn't give him a bunch of back talk and lip. She didn't say, "Give me a fleece that's wet on the ground." She didn't even do any of the stuff that we would think a person of faith might do. She just said, "Okay, Lord, if this is what you say, be it unto me." And I want to encourage us all in that kind of willing-hearted response from Mary. Look at the beauty of the phrase, "Be it unto me according to your word." Literally, that means in the Greek, "Be it unto me according to your rhema." Remember, we've had that discussion before. The Greek word logos, the written word, and the Greek word rhema, that freshly inspired, breathed-on word of God. "Be it unto me, Lord, according to that word you have now spoken into my heart, bring it tangibly to life." How many have anything the Lord's ever spoken to your heart? Come on, you know when God spoke into your heart. "Be it unto me." You know if it's also from bad pizza the night before and you missed it. But there's clearly a word that you know when God speaks it to your spirit, and some promises that maybe you haven't seen fulfilled yet. Fulfill them, Lord. Bring it to pass. "Be it unto me according to your word." And she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That Greek word is megaluno, and it means to make great, to increase, to extol. I make God great in my life. I extol you. This whole section that we've read about is the Magnificat. And Mary magnifies the Lord. It's a mystery. She doesn't get it, but she knows that God's got her, and she's willing-hearted. And willing-hearted people worship. I said willing-hearted people, what? That word "willing" in the Webster's, there's several definitions for us. It means to be inclined or favorably disposed, ready, willing, eager to help. She was willing. It meant she had a promptness to act or to respond to God. It was something that was done or born or accepted by choice without what? I'm sorry, you got real quiet on that word. Without what? You're still quiet. Without what? How many have ever been reluctant? "Sure, Lord, I'll do it." While you see the heel marks drug across the floor. It's that way sometimes. But she wasn't. No reluctancy at all. Of or relating to the will or power of choosing. She was a choosing person. And she chose to say yes. Are you willing-hearted this morning?
Yes.
Let your heart be responsive. When Jesus comes to you to minister to you, to lead you, to provide you, to speak to you, let our heart say, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Jesus, I'm willing." Sometimes the Lord asks us to do some things that aren't fun. Right? So, you know, some of you guys are just looking at me like, "Why, you in a world all your own this morning." Sometimes the calling of God is not fun. Sometimes the things He asks us to do, can you be honest with me? Sometimes it's, "Hey, come back another day. I don't want to do this today." We just read about Jonah. Some of us who are reading the Bible through the Bible in a year, that's what Jonah said to God, wasn't it? "Hey, come back another day with that calling to Nineveh. I ain't going there." So God says, "Okay, you ain't going there. I'll send you some other place. You'll see if you like this one better." Called the belly of the whale. And then inside the belly of the whale, Jonah said, "You know, maybe God's will wasn't so bad after all." You know, you read it, it's just powerful again to read about the seaweed wrapped around his head. You know, at that point, you would think, "Oh, God, help me," would be the cry of your heart, wouldn't it? "Oh, he's so sanctified." Now he's just needy and desperate. And sometimes it feels like that in the Lord. "I don't want to do this, Lord. But I'd rather have your way than my way." How many can even pray, if you know what the will of God is and it's not easy and you don't like it, can you sometimes even pray, "Lord, make me willing. Help me be willing to do your will." He knows what's best. Help me be willing. "Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word." What a thing of beauty that comes from Mary's spirit. Now realize, the moment she said that, the suffering also began. The very moment she said yes. Now, if you think that doing the will of God means everything's always easy, you got another story coming, don't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought that? You know, there's preaching like that, don't you? You don't hear it here, do you? Don't hear it here much. But there is preaching like that. And the problem with that kind of preaching, that if you're doing the will of God, all you'll ever be is blessed, 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 blessed. Well, I believe in the blessing of God. But that doesn't mean God will stop dealing with me and changing me and allowing things into my life that create some suffering and difficulties. It's all to refine me and make me more of His person. Mary began to suffer right away. The ostracization, the difficulty. Here she was, she'd never known a man, and this had never happened in human history before or since. You try to convince this culture that I'm pregnant, and I know I'm pregnant. I know that, but I really didn't do anything. Would you believe it? It took an angel to show up to Joseph to tell him. Took an angel every step of the way. God moved on these lives, and it's not always easy. But Lord, I want to be willing. All right, let's talk about Joseph. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, tells us about Joseph. And let's see about Joseph this morning. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away, how? Secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. Say it with me, please. And you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel commanded him, the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name. We know Joseph was a just man. That's what the Bible says. Just. The Greek word is diakios. And it means equitable, innocent, holy. Absolutely or relatively, either way, but it means holy and innocent. He didn't want to make her a public example. This is a good man. He had every opportunity in Israeli culture to stone this woman if she had been found unfaithful. But he didn't want to make a public example. Literally in the Greek, that phrase means he did not want to expose her to infamy. That's really powerful. Didn't want to expose her to infamy. Didn't want to put her to an open shame. So he was going to put her away or divorce her privately. And you recall, in those days, their betrothal period was as much as being married without physical consummation. They didn't live in the same home. But if you were going to be separated from that person, it was an act of divorcement from that point forward. And so he was going to do that privately. The Holy Spirit speaks to Joseph through an angel in a dream. Joseph is what? He's sensitive to God. Do you trust all your dreams? How many are glad to wake up and rebuke them? Some of them are great dreams. And man, you ever have a time where you're dreaming along and somebody wakes you up and you go, oh, I want to go back and go back to that dream. Okay, get out of here. Ever have that happen? Sure. And some dreams, man, you just can't wait to get out of them. You know, you're running away from something or sinking or whatever it might be. And you wake up and you go, oh, man, thank God that was only a dream. Some of them are so real. Sometimes the Lord will guide through dreams. Sometimes. The Bible says your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. That kind of tells you your category. Gee, I had a dream last night. Oh, you're getting to be an old man, Kev. He's sensitive to the Spirit of God. Now, there are only 6 incidences of dreams being noteworthy in the New Testament. And they're all found in the book of Matthew. Isn't that interesting? But it's therefore not a strong form of guidance in the New Testament. Jesus never comes and reflects a dream that he had. He's led by vision, by direct understanding from the Lord. It doesn't mean God can't. The Bible tells us God can and does lead by a dream. But we need to make sure that it's surrendered under the Lordship of Jesus and it matches up with the Word of God. But sometimes it's how the Lord will speak to us. There's a specific instruction, and when you know there's a specific instruction from God, obey Him. Your obedience brings worship to God. Say it again. Your what? Obedience brings worship to God. Consider. Think about Joseph for a moment, won't you? We were talking about this the other night, the three of us. And Joseph was a special man, called by God to carry the responsibility of being the natural or earthly father of our Lord, to raise him who was not really his to be his. To teach him the skills of carpentry and raise him up. And Joseph was called to protect Mary and our Lord Jesus. Joseph was a man who was willing and sensitive to the Spirit of God. He kept Mary at the angel's word. He moved Mary at the angel's word. And he moved Mary and the baby at the angel's word. This man valued and obeyed the Spirit of God. Joseph was a willing-hearted worshiper. Now, you know, think about it, you guys. He passed off the scene. Very little is known of Joseph. There's a thing of beauty in that. He obeyed the Lord, was sold out to God, did what God called him to be, and he didn't do it by having to be written up in the annals of history, though he is. But we know about the one he raised as our Lord more than we know about Joseph. We find out that probably he passed away, and at the end we see Mary at the crucifixion. We don't see Joseph. And in fact, some of the texts that are in the book of Luke are unique only to the book of Luke, and it's probably because, understanding is, that Mary told Luke personally of the stories that happened in her family when they were young and moving in response to God. But God used this loving, caring, surrendered, willing-hearted man to raise up and care for the Savior. All right, let's move on. We have then, thirdly, the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. The shepherds. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by when?
Night.
By night. That's important. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, the same thing he says almost every time an angel shows up, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Say it with me, the next verse, please. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, I love it, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, say it with me, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Man, I love music. How many like music?
Yeah.
I love music. And you can imagine all the different styles of music you like. What kind of styles of music do you like here? How many like country? Okay, there's a section for you in heaven, and I'll be there too. Okay, how many like rock and roll? I like, just give me that good old rock. Okay, and then how many like rap? Yeah, good. I thought maybe I might get one. And see, the rest of you are dreaming dreams, see? And how many heavy metal here? Okay, banjo. Yeah, only a couple of them. Okay, harmonica. Oh, every one of us. All right. Classical. Oh, yeah, classical music. Boy, I'm from the low church, aren't I? Classical music. Yeah, I love classical music. Oh, reggae. Okay, all right. Okay, you're involved. What other kinds of music do you want to talk about? What is it? Hawaiian music. You bet. Jazz. All that jazz. Folk. Oh, of course. Kingston Trio. Okay, how about you, Dan? Okay. All right. Listen, We all like kinds of music and love, I love gospel music and southern gospel music, and I love black gospel music. So many different kinds. Listen, what do you think that song sounded like? When God showed up and wrote the song himself, and he had the world's greatest choir, in fact, otherworldly greatest choir, when the angels were there singing, and this, you know, the nightlight is just splitting the sky, and there's angels everywhere, and they're singing, and oh my goodness, we get out cigars at our baby's birth. God had something far better, didn't he? He's got a song, and he's got a choir, and man, this guy knows how to put on a production. Good job. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now, what? Let us now, let us when? Now. Let us when? Go. Now go. Go now. Now go. Go now. Now go. I'm just trying to emphasize the point. Do we get the point? Now go to Bethlehem. Now, middle of the night, and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with what?
Haste.
I'm sorry, they came with?
Haste.
With haste. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they'd seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Don't you think you would too? I mean, these are simple shepherds out in the field. What they get to see is the wonderful miracle of life as a lamb is birthed. And they don't oftentimes see angels and see and hear heavenly choirs and go see the baby born to be the Messiah. Powerful stuff. Shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, as it was told them. It's possible, as you study these shepherds, that they were simply those who tended to the temple flocks, and they were the first to hear of God's new lamb born to remove the sins of the world. Now, notice they were tending their flocks by night. Now, I don't want to blow anybody's Christmas season, but you all know, most all of you know, that December 25th is a day that we've selected to celebrate Christmas. And yes, there's all sorts of things through antiquity in terms of pagan celebrations. And so the church brought in an event to celebrate his birth on this day. You know what? I don't care. I like to celebrate the birth of Jesus every single day. And December 25th, that's a great day for me.
Amen.
To celebrate Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. The people who get all uptight about it's a pagan ceremony. Oh, just stifle yourself and worship Jesus. Right? I heard two amens. Okay, good. Listen, it was by night, which tells us that it was apparently the warm season of the year, which apparently means it probably was not December 25th. More likely, it was either the spring through possibly August when this occurred. But it's okay, because we're glad to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we get a whole day, we get to talk it up all the time around this time of year. Keepers of the sheep. They were hardworking. And they were facing danger. They were facing the elements. And they were responsive to God's visit. Great light and heavenly choir and God's glorious songs. Great tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy literally means great news of great cheerfulness. That's what it means in the Greek. Great news of great cheerfulness. The Master, Kyrios, Savior and Lord, born as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's a whole lot I could tell you about that thing with swaddling clothes. In fact, they are studying now Sid's death. And they're saying that, in fact, different cultures around the world still wrap their children up in swaddling clothes until they're about a year or a lot older than just a little tiny infant. And it helps the baby sleep securely at night and keeps them on their back securely. And it's when we turn them over on their stomach that there's oftentimes difficulties. And so there are studies that have now justified and proven that wrapping them with swaddling clothes is one of the ways of keeping them alive. So anyway, how do the shepherds respond? With enthusiasm and with faith and with belief and with willing hearts. What kind of hearts?
Willing.
Man, they got up and went and found the baby in the middle of the night. You know, can you imagine? How dumb would you feel if you were wrong? But I kind of think it was a big enough production, they might have think they really saw something. So they ran with haste. I love it. I love the energy and the excitement. Come on, let's go find the Messiah. They were hungry to see it and excited and worshiping. And then they became evangelists for the good news. The word here for their haste is spudio. And it means to speed and to urge on. They were awaiting eagerly. They found the baby. Now we see the image of the wonderful wooden manger. But Israel is not full of a lot of wood. What it's full of is a lot of rock. And this scenario was played out most likely in a cave. And that baby was lying in an edge or a ledge of rock hewn out of the side of the cave where the hay was laid for the animals. A rock kind of manger. But a thing of beauty as the King of all the earth and the Messiah comes to us in the form of a baby saying, I love you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This whole event that unfolded is everything flies in the face of what they were doing for their earthly emperors. The earthly emperors in this day were called Lord and Savior oftentimes, and choirs sung about them, and their Lord and Savior had brought about a time of peace. Only this is a Messiah to bring eternal peace in the heart and life. The simple shepherds loved the Lord, loved and cared for sheep, and they were willing-hearted worshipers. And one more section, and then we'll bring it to a close. There were some wise men. The Magi, wise men, who saw a star. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We'll begin with that. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now you recognize, I'm sure, that Herod the Great died in 4 B.C., Jesus, then, was born before 4 B.C., rather than in A.D. 1. Our calendars are off by several years. Herod was not the rightful king from the line of David. In fact, he wasn't even a descendant of Jacob. But he was descended from Esau, and he was an Edomite, and he reigned over Palestine from 37 B.C. to 4 B.C. This caused the Jews who were in Palestine to hate him. And never really accepted this guy, even though he did a lot for Israel and did a lot for the king. Not much is known about these Magi. Typically, they're called the wise men. We don't know where they came from. We don't know how many there were. You know, tradition says there were 3. Tradition even names them. The Bible that you read doesn't really have their number or their names. But these could have been Jews who were people exiled from into Babylon after the exile, and they might have remained in exile in Babylon. They knew the Old Testament predictions then of the Messiah's coming. They could have been Eastern astrologers who studied ancient manuscripts from around the world, and because of the exile, the Jews to Babylon centuries earlier, they probably had leftover copies of the Old Testament law. These could have been people who simply had a special message from God directing them to the Messiah. At the very least, that's what it is. Now, some say these Magi were each from different countries, and it represents all the world coming to bow before Him. At the least, we know they were from a faraway land, and they recognized Jesus as the Messiah, whereas most of God's chosen people did not. I said, whereas most of God's chosen people did not. You understand that? They came from thousands of miles to see the King of the Jews. And when they found Him, they worshipped Him and brought gifts. It's a lot different than how we do it today. We expect God to come find us. And we expect God to bring us and load us down with benefits and gifts. And He wants us to have willing hearts to respond to Him. These pagan men had more willing hearts to worship than those who were considered God's people. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. When they heard the king, they departed. Behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the what? The young what?
Child.
With Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. And by the way, if you follow the routes where they had to go, the other way home, whatever direction it was that did not go through Jerusalem, was a very difficult and arduous journey. But they obeyed what they heard God tell them. The star they'd seen in the east reappeared and led them to the house in Bethlehem where they found the child, Jesus. It's not a babe in a manger now, not a babe in a cave. But they find the young child, Jesus. Now, Bethlehem is 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Stars naturally travel from east to west, not from north to south. Could it be that the star that the Magi saw, which led them to a specific house, was the Shekinah glory of God? The pillar of fire that shone by night and the cloud by day? Could it be that the Shekinah glory of God showed up as a star? Perhaps that's what they saw. We don't know. But they found the child and they went in and they bowed before him and worshipped him. And they gave him gifts. What were those gifts? Gold. Representing his deity or his purity. Secondly was the incense, representing the fragrance of his life. And what was the third one? How many know what myrrh was for? Embalming and death. Those gifts were undoubtedly what they spent as they went into Egypt for living expenses, as they were provided for by God for the journey they would take into Egypt. All of this probably a year to 2 years after Jesus' birth. Took a long time for him to get there. Remember, Herod had the kids who were under what years of age killed? Under 2 years of age killed. They fell down and worshipped before the young child. You know what's beautiful about this? Some say they were astrologers. If that's the case, astrology has already bowed the knee before Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some say they were astronomers, magi, wise men. No matter what, the world has already come and bowed down before him. And there's more to come in that realm. Amen?
Amen?
Time doesn't have time for us to tell about Simeon and Anna, older people who were waiting to see the baby birth, who got to see him and rejoice in him and declared prophecy over him. Their hearts were quickened and their willing hearts worshipped. Time doesn't give us this morning time to tell about Elizabeth, who worshipped the Lord even as a baby still in Mary's womb. Willing hearts worship him. We sing the song, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us what?
Adore him,
because he is so worthy to be praised. Elaine, would you come? Key of F, let's finish with, O come, let us adore him. I don't have the words for you. We know those. Born in a lowly manger, in a cave, among the animals, no room for the Messiah in a comfortable inn. Our hearts are oftentimes no better until we're redeemed. And then willing hearts. Well, we just plain love to worship him all the time, don't we? How many in this room are willing-hearted? Let's stand, willing-hearted people, and let's give him glory, because he's worthy of our worship. Jesus, we come and adore you this morning. Our hearts are willing. We're thankful for your Spirit, your grace, your mercy. Thanks for being the babe born in a manger who went on to grow to be the man who took our sins on the cross. But you didn't just stay there. You died and were buried. But you didn't just stay there. You were resurrected, and you ever lived to make intercession for your saints. Oh, Lord. Our willing hearts worship you. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen.